Welcome to the Bill Cartwright Show with our special guest, USF alum, Jim Alexandre. Jim, welcome to the show.
Bill, thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it has been a while. What I'd like to do is to have everybody get to know you really quickly.
Okay.
So I want to talk about, really quick where you grew up, and I want you to talk about, not necessarily in depth, because we're going to get back to that later, mom and dad, talk about that.
All right, very good. I grew up in Redwood City, California, which is about 25 miles south of San Francisco, and went to grammar school here, and then went to high school at Sarah High School, which of course is known as the home of Lynn Swann, Tom Brady, and Barry Bonds. And I went from Sarah. Yeah, I think it's the number one high school in terms of the GOATs. So, Norma, of course, is my wife, who you know very, very well. And she's also class of 78 from USF. We got married your last year at USF in 1979, right? And we've decided to stay close to where I grew up, because my oldest son Jason, who you've met, lives in San Carlos, which is the next town over, and he is married and has a wonderful son who is named James as well, and he is 7 years old, and so we help take care of him 3 days a week, and that's why we moved back to where we are here, but I'm a couple blocks from the house that you visited and saw my mom and dad on a number of occasions, and of course I'll talk a little bit more about my dad in a bit. So after USF and at USF, of course, I was the assistant sports information director, the student version of that. Bill Fusco was the great sports information director. And I traveled quite a bit with principally the basketball teams, but also the soccer teams while I was at USF. Did a lot of traveling. We won a national championship and so forth. But some of my fondest memories are the trips with the basketball team and you and the other guys, and that we had a great time. I subsequently started a career with Bank of America in San Francisco, and long story short on that, I was fortunate enough to spend 35 years there. Retired several years ago. And have enjoyed that career very much. The career and my bosses wanted us to move, so we moved 9 times. I think that's a little bit more than you moved, but we moved 9 times. And the principal places that we lived during all of that was in Arizona. Spent a couple of tours in Arizona, managing our Southwest operations, and then spent two tours in Chicago, in which I saw you, and you it was great to see you and follow your career while we were there. And then I spent the last 13 of those 35 years in New York. We lived in Connecticut, and then I worked downtown in New York, and it was a wonderful career. I had a lot of stories, a lot of great times with the bank, a lot of responsibility, and was fortunate to be in a senior executive with the company. So, but I'm enjoying retirement with Norma, and we are grateful to have our grandson and take care of him. As to my mom and dad, they're both deceased, of course. Dad died in 2006, mom in 2011. My dad, for those who may not know on the podcast, has the nickname Mr. USF. He has a fountain between the old USF campus and the new campus, as we acquired Lone Mountain. And as you go up the steps to go to Lone Mountain, you see that fountain with my dad's name on it, Mr. USF. And he spent the last 25 years of his working career, maybe a little bit longer than that. He was asked by Father Loschiavo to come and be the vice president of the university relating to alumni relations and development. And he was just a great guy, known by all. I have many pictures. I have pictures of Billy with my dad and on campus, and just a great guy who spent his prominent years of his work life up on the hill, and just a wonderful man whose legacy lives on through all of the relationships that he forged with people who have been very generous with USF over the years. And so very proud of his accomplishments. Behind me is his alumni award for Alumnus of the Year and for his service to the university for that long period of time. So Billy, that kind of captures it quickly in terms of what Norma and I have been up to and kind of my background.
Well, let's go back on that real quick. You did end up at USF. Talk about how did that happen? Was that all dad or was that you? And talk about your role at the university and talk a little bit about some of the lessons that you learned while you were there.
Okay. Well, the USF decision was, I'd say, a pretty easy one. My father, it was very difficult not to follow my father's footsteps. And in fact, I was following my brother's footsteps, Tom, who had gone to USF as an undergrad and then went to University of Washington for his doctorate. So I followed my father and my brother. And I really didn't have an ambition to leave the state. I think I would have stayed elsewhere in Northern California or Southern California, but I really didn't think about going elsewhere. The other reason I made that decision was, again, Bill Fusco, who I mentioned earlier, and several others, friends of my brother's, actually, who knew that I loved sports, made an effort to, I guess, recruit me or ask me to be the assistant sports information director. And at that time, my life really revolved around sports. I had played sports. I was an enormous basketball fan, football fan, baseball, etc. And it was I had done some writing and other work when I was at Sarah High School. And so it was kind of an extension to know that I'd have a job, almost a full-time job for, you know, 3.5 of my 4 years at USF. And that was important to me so that I could, help with the tuition and do things like that. It gave me lifelong relationships. It's how I met you when we recruited you or you recruited us, and how I met a lot of my very close friends. They either played baseball at USF or other things athletically, but it just, I enjoyed every second of that. And it gave me a huge experience to deal with the sports writers who were following, you guys and others and stay close to kind of that operation, such that when I graduated, and I graduated with a BS in business administration, finance, but it was interesting when I graduated, St. Mary's of all places offered me a job to be the SID, of which I really had no interest in working at St. Mary's, and certainly was not going to work at Santa Clara at all either, which was another one that was inquiring about my services when I graduated. But that kind of is the reason I decided on USF.
So talk about that. Talk about the skills that you learned, because now you're about to leave USF. So what do you think? I mean, we know ultimately where you ended up. But how did you get there? And what skills did you learn at USF to be able to get there?
Yeah, I mean, I think I learned, I certainly felt more comfortable and poised to deal in the public sense as opposed to something that might have been less available, you know, maybe more dealing with individual skills. I really liked the leadership side. And I think USF helped me greatly in the leadership at a very early age. I mean, to be dealing with a variety of subjects. You know, I'd say characteristically, a couple of the things that were important as I chose a career and then I embarked on the career was it was very important to be, and I got most of these from my dad, to be selfless, to not get hung up on what I was doing, but trying to understand what more I could learn in any specific job that I would take on that my employer asked me to do. Again, we moved a lot of time, 9 times across the nation. And I principally give Norma all the credit for that, as to she had a career. Once we had our second son, Danny, in 1989, he, you know, taking care of the two boys and moving so much, it was a lot of work there. And, you know, I never said no. I never said no with Norma's agreement on any endeavor that was going to give me an opportunity to learn more, to learn a different skill set, to get more responsibility, et cetera. And that, at the end of the day, you know, was a criteria for me to be kind of qualified, if you will, for some very senior assignments in the company. And just one very short example of that is I was very involved in our acquisitions that brought us to the Southwest, because Bank of America only used to work in the California, and then we bought something in the Northwest first. We bought something in the Southwest. We bought Continental Bank and LaSalle Bank in the Midwest. And then we did other acquisitions along the way. And I was involved in all of those acquisitions in helping to do the due diligence and understand. And had I just gone through kind of one specific channel, be it consumer or corporate or other legal matters, and I don't have my law degree, but I would probably have been a little bit more anxious to try something else. But at the end of the day, the 35 years allowed me to just do almost everything. And such that when I retired, you know, I was a trusted confidant of the CEO of the company. And he continued to give me more responsibilities, tried to talk to me out of retirement. Sometimes I think I retired too young, but it was a wonderful thing. And again, I hearken back to your question as to what did USF help me with? And it helped me not only through that job, but I think through the courses that I took, the professors that I learned from, some of which had trained and taught my brother and my father before me. And so that was, of course, interesting.
Okay. So talk about your first job and then just talk about your transition from that, because you did have a similar journey that I had, having a new wife, having to learn lessons. So talk about your first job and talk about your transition into those different cities.
Well, the transition, each job again was unique. So it gave me an opportunity to do things and to learn things different than what I had done from the previous job. While there were some similarities that gave me a basis to feel like I could be successful, the jobs were unique. And so, for example, when I went to Arizona, I had not spent much time. I mean, I think again, sports wise, we had played a couple of games in the state, and, but you know, I did not know what living in the desert was going to be like. The heat, if you juxtapose the heat of Arizona versus the winters of Chicago and New York and Connecticut, that alone was a big transition. But the Phoenix job gave me responsibilities to manage the Southwest for the company. So we had made acquisitions in Nevada and of course in Arizona, and ultimately did some small things in New Mexico and then some larger things in Texas. So it allowed me to travel through the Southwest, give me an appreciation for the people that, you know, work there, live there, and the differences between, you know, consumers and corporate entities between California based and the Southwest based. There were differences. Obviously the size of Arizona through Texas is smaller than California, but you know, just opportunities to be in front of people, to talk about issues, to be asked questions, you know, in a public sense of, you know, what I thought about, you know, the economy and factors relating to a variety of things, principally the lows of the economy. You know, we had so many cycles, and I began to really then at that point hone in on, why is it that certain industries, certain companies, certain management styles succeed in the downturn? So the downturn of 1980, the downturn of 1988, the downturn of 1990, and so forth, and just continue all those through the periods of time that that, you know, I said grace over a variety of the corporate responsibilities as to who we did business with. I spent the last 13 years of my life as different than the first 20 plus years. I spent that on the large corporate side, responsibility for the global arrangements and businesses that we would finance and deal with. And so that experience in Arizona was built upon, working with middle market companies, smaller companies, and so forth. That helped me to understand how to make larger relationships, mutually satisfactory relationships with companies that were a little bit larger when I retired. And so I think the skill set was just increased responsibility, and there was always a learning. You know, I did not like necessarily leaving friends and clients who I was very comfortable with, and then starting all over again. But you know, that's what people do when they want to expand their responsibilities.
You know, I was really fortunate to play for the Chicago Bulls, not because I played with Michael Jordan, but because, well, along with that, but I had some brilliant people to work with, starting with Jerry Krause, starting with Clarence Gaines, Jimmy Stack, his assistants, starting with our coaches who were brilliant, our strength and conditioning coach, Al Vermeil, who was brilliant. And I was just really blessed to be with people, special, special, special people that I learned from. Did you have an opportunity in your career to work with any of those folks who you thought were brilliant?
Absolutely. And I'd say the first brilliant person I worked with was my first regional manager. At the time, I was working in Menlo Park next to Stanford, and he was the regional manager in San Mateo. And, he gave me, and every once in a while, he would set up dinners with the head of California, who would stop by our region, and I'd get one of those invitations as one of the more junior people, and so forth. And he commented to me once and said, the day after we had dinner with his boss, in essence, he said, "Jim, I you were very quiet last night. You didn't ask any questions. Are you comfortable asking questions? And why didn't you ask any questions? And by the way, this is an exposure for you. So because we think highly of you, this is 4 years into my career. So I was still in my 20s. And he basically gave me a lesson right then on the spot. He brought me into his office and said, you know, next time we have one of these, feel comfortable. Get yourself comfortable in asking questions, because it's good to observe. It's good to hear his answers to other people or how he feels or she feels. But at the same time, we want to hear from you and what's on your mind. And we want you to give that feedback to Jim was the other guy, the state head. And that stuck with me is, be part of the question and answer, because that's how you're going to learn. And also it's an exposure to yourself. Along the way, I had other people like that in each of the areas that I moved. That's how I learned from everybody I dealt with basically after the Arizona. And I went to Chicago for the first time in 1994. And I would say this, again, moving and getting more responsibility is great, but there's also some time, and you might have this in your background too, I would suspect, and most people do. You're also going to learn from people who you didn't necessarily like working with, or that you didn't feel comfortable with, and yet they were your boss or your boss's boss or a colleague or whatever, what have you, teammate. And, you still had to find a way to make that work, because had been disruptive, which I don't think I could ever have done that. But had I been disruptive because I thought, gee, I don't really get what this person is, how they manage people and so forth. Let's say I disagreed with it. And yet I wasn't able to go to somebody else and say, well, move me. And I don't want to be exposed to this one person. Not everybody's a great leader. Not everybody's a great manager, leader of people. And so I had a couple of those along the way, and I kept my mouth shut, and that served me well. I learned what I liked from that person, but I also learned what I didn't necessarily want to bring with me to my next job or bring with me on how I dealt with people, if that makes sense to you.
So as you wrap up your career now, when I ended my career, I did it in Seattle. I kind of felt like I was really close to being seriously injured. So I decided, this is going to be it. How did you know you were going to wrap it up? I mean, what decided that?
Well, I think the principal part of it decided was health. And I just recently had my fourth major surgery on my spine in June of this year at Stanford. And my second major one was at Northwestern in Chicago in the early 90s. And so I simply got tired of flying, of being in airports. And I think you can relate to that especially well, because, of a man, of your size, it's very hard to get comfortable on a plane. It's uncomfortable to get into an airport and get around with your bags. And so I was simply tired, and my back had been giving me a significant amount of trouble, which led to this fourth surgery, hopefully last, but who knows, that I just recently had. So I think that was part of it. I think I wanted to slow down the days. I like to explain to people and my kids and so forth, I wore a suit and tie for 35 years. With the few exceptions that in New York or near Chicago, they had free dress on Friday. And so we all loved that, where, you know, you didn't have to have a tie on and a suit and this whole bit. And so, you know, I was tired of doing that. I was tired of, I won't say I wasn't, I had stopped being intellectually stimulated, because I think there were still things that could make me excited about working with or on a plan or what have you. But I was just tired, Bill. I mean, I thought 35 years was enough. I couldn't see myself doing another five. I'm sure I could have, but the days were long. The days were long. And I was working, certainly working 10 hours a day easy, and then many times working much longer than that. And then with the global responsibilities and the time zone changes and all of that, time zone differences, you know, Saturdays and Sundays were work days. So that's why I kind of said it's time.
Yeah, I understand that. You guys are on a basketball schedule. It just never ends.
It never ends, right?
Yeah, and the bad thing about sports is it's more than that. It's a real addiction, because you get addicted to it. You get addicted to the feeling of it, the excitement of it, and it's just something that never really leaves. But you really have to be able to break yourself away, especially physically. So you talked about your surgeries now. So how are you feeling now?
I'm actually feeling better. I don't have the pain, which was causing the necessity for the fourth surgery. It has taken away some of my mobility, for example, and it's a small thing in the continuum of life, but as you get older, you have small things that make you happy. My particular surgeon told me not to play golf any longer. Well, you know, I started playing golf when I was 12 years old with my dad. So, you know, I'm 66 now, I'll be 67 in February. I played golf all those years. I have, you know, numerous things that remind me about playing golf. I've got my two sons who are into golf now. I've got my grandson who Jason is getting involved with golf. It's and many, not all, but many of my friendships are around golf trips and playing together and so forth and so on. And so that was a tough one, but you know, I'm swimming most days, not when it's raining and cold outside like it is now, but I'm fortunate to have the ability to swim. I do some walks. I just bought a bike, hopefully that will give me a little bit more freedom. Those are ways that I'm feeling better physically and mentally.
Hey, talk about your dad, because your dad and I did spend some time together, and talk about some of the fun things that he did. I think your dad did reviews, and he had one on different restaurants that he would go to. I still remember that.
Yeah, he that's for good memory. He had a restaurant guide that a fellow alum sponsored the publication. It was about on an 18-month cycle. It was called the Al Alessandri, you know, restaurant guide of Northern California, and ultimately it included the Sacramento area, the Marin County area, the Carmel Monterey area, so forth and so on, and was really appreciative. And anything that was in there, he went and had dinner or lunch or knew the owner or the chef or something. And that was a deal that not only helped him, he started it before he went to USF, but certainly that restaurant guide was a fun thing for him to call on an alum or a prospective donor or a friend of the university in some way and share that with that person. Listen, he, he had the job that was made in heaven. Clearly for him, he loved it when Bill Russell was in town and had agreed, to swing by the university and say hello. And while they were 6 years difference in age, even when my dad wasn't at USF, he had spent some time with Bill while on campus. And then when he was in that position, he spent a lot of time. He had another famous friend who was in his class at USF, Pete Rozelle. He loved spending time with Pete. While they were different people, Pete was a brilliant businessman in the way he did things. Pete had a wonderful career in his way, as did my dad, but he and Pete got along great. And I know they talked regularly, throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s. And Pete was just I never met him personally, but I wish I had. And then he knew other people from his class. But my dad had this, was asked over 200 times, Bill, to speak at funerals, to be the person, while he may not have known the person who had just passed away, but he may have known the brother of that person. And then that person or that wife or spouse or what have you got to know my father as someone who not only was Mr. USF in a certain amount of ways, but he was somebody that was kind, and he could just relate to people. Extreme extrovert, spoke fluid Italian, beautiful Italian. And he everybody wanted to be around my dad, whether it was the restaurant side of things or his role at USF and bringing together people for events at USF to celebrate things with the father's president. And again, he laughed, he told jokes. He was a native San Franciscan, had been born in this country, but he spoke fluid Italian. So he, as you know, you're working in that area now at USF, and USF's lucky to have you in that spot. It's sometimes a hard thing to do, is to ask people to help. But he was very, very good at it, and he appreciated everything that the alums and people like the Correttes and others who've been and Sobrados who've been big supporters of the university.
So you met your wife Norma at USF. Let's talk about Norma a little bit. Talk about your kids, and now, talk about your grandkids.
Yeah. Well, I met Norma in 1976. And so, it was our sophomore year. And fortunately, we met because she was working in the intramural area with several other friends, lifelong friends of ours, Carol Goodwin and Rod Williams. And others. And so, we met about halfway through our period at USF and have been together since. We celebrated our 43rd anniversary this year, wedding anniversary, and fortunate and again, our career would never have taken had it not been for Norma. And her willingness to move and drop things at one city where we had gotten friendships and the church and the this and the that. And then all of a sudden I'm asking her to move to Chicago twice. So we had, fortunately enough, two sons, Jason, who's an attorney for a national firm. He works here in California, Northern California, but it's a national firm headquartered in D.C. We started with, and they asked, he asked them if he could someday move back to California, which he did. He's in Palo Alto. His wife, Laura, is someone he met at Georgetown when they were both undergraduates, and she's got her master's from Georgetown. And then my younger son, Danny, just a wonderful, wonderful kid, too, played college water polo. So he was a Division I athlete. He played at George Washington in D.C., and that really was his love. He was an All-American in high school, and when we were living in Greenwich, Connecticut, and he just loved that. He loved the coaching that he had received, to the extent, Bill, that he has spent the majority of his working life as a coach. And most recently, he has been working at Stevenson High School down in the Monterey area, which is a very prestigious private school there. And prior to that, at York down in Monterey. So he's probably in the not too distant future going to be probably getting out of coaching. It's been in his blood and he's enjoyed it, but he probably looked to do something else based upon his leadership skills and all that. And then finally, to your point, I have one grandchild. We have one grandchild, I should say. His name is James. He's wonderful. We love every minute we have taken. It's the best job either of us have ever had. And but Norma does a lot more of that work than I do, but so she deserves that credit again. But he's just a wonderful young man. He loves learning in every possible aspect of, you know, what's going on in the world, why, and so forth. He's very smart. He's taking up baseball, and he's doing a little bit of basketball, so we'll see how that goes. But he's just a great kid that we're very fortunate. He's got his health and so forth.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for being on the show. I am really anxious to have you come back to USF. As a matter of fact, I live right across the street from your dad's fountain, so I see it pretty much every day. I walk upstairs. We're going to be really happy to have you back on campus. I think you'd be very pleased with what's going on, and very pleased with what everybody's trying to accomplish. So, but thank you so much for being on, and I'm just looking forward to spending time with you.
Bill, Vice, the same sentiment. Norma and I are looking forward to seeing you very soon, and hopefully it'll be in that early January, if not sometime in February period. And I hope you have good health, and I hope everyone in your family's good health for the rest of the year. And thanks again for inviting me.